I've got a ball peen hammer and a smattering of Latin. So as far as I can see, I'm pretty well set up to have a go at the yacht surveying game. Of course, it would have to be a sideline, because since I moved to Morden, I've taken up a new calling as a wooden boat sail flapper. That's the term round here for time-wasting nautical tire kickers. And that's how come I've picked up a rudimentary grasp of Latin. Well, enough at least to order a skinny latte in Starbucks in ancient Rome. It all comes from reading yacht surveys. The lofty prose of the estate agent pales in comparison with the imaginative roller coaster ride of the wooden boat yacht surveyor's quill. Any decent yacht surveyor could produce a tome heftier than Homer's Iliad after inspecting a single cleat. A survey of a whole boat would outweigh the entire output of Barbara Cartland and Geoffrey Archer combined. Now, I love great fiction, and yacht surveys are well worth the money in poundage alone, and that's not even taking into account the laminated covers and spiral binding. Most yacht surveys follow a format. After several thousand words of introduction, you eventually get to the introduction, but that's only the beginning. There are lengthy, detailed tracts and chapters on terms and conditions, the law, definitions, addenda, addendum, appendixes and other body parts, notes, recommendations, summary, conclusions, and zodiac readings. Throughout, full stops are in desperately short supply, so that if you read the survey out loud, you'd need an aqualung to avoid passing out. Even then, you might get the bends on the way up. Instead, the texts are littered copiously with hieroglyphics such as hash, star, or treble clefs, which lead you into a murky labyrinth of cross-references from which you may never emerge. And whenever there's any danger of anything actually being understood, the yacht surveyor resorts to Latin. For example, the boat appears per libido aspidistra to be of a type which, in excelsis marcipan, is known ipso dipso as a sailfish 18 star hash asterisk sedilla in brackets C notes 5F and disclaimers 12 to 142 close brackets. Now that brings me to the disclaimers, which form the major part of any pucker yacht survey. The disclaimers absolve the yacht surveyor from everything, including marital infidelity, VAT fraud, original sin, parking tickets, and pursuit by the child support agency, in this life, past and future ones. It even has contingencies that cover reincarnation as a rabbit, or indeed as a human. The yacht surveyor is quite literally blameless. It's brilliant. Of course, some yacht surveys even mention the boat that's being surveyed, but that's not strictly necessary. Last year, after clambering all over a little boat I was briefly besotten by, I sat down to read a recent survey, which noted, "It was not practical to withdraw the bilge keel bolts for close-up examination, but the internal nuts and plate washers were hammer-tested." This was puzzling. The reason it wasn't practical was that there weren't any bilge keels. The same survey mentioned the main and upper steering position, but I could only find the one tiller. Of course, the cut-and-paste function of Microsoft Word is probably the modern yacht surveyor's greatest tool, but it's all too easy to get carried away and insert whole chapters from Alice in Wonderland. In truth, the punter's unlikely to notice, and even if they do, it's not your fault. Nothing is. Most yacht surveyors are members of at least 15 professional organisations, and I'm a fellow of the Royal Institute of Sail Flappers and Naval Gazers. That's Mauritania. I'm also the founder and chief executive, and if you pop into our HQ above a kebab shop in the Mile End Road, we'll do you a certificate for £15. That's cash only, by the way. The other thing you need is tools, and the wooden boat surveyor has two major weapons. The primary one is the ball peen hammer, which is kept alongside the other Masonic regalia in a blue velvet-lined attaché case. It's the equivalent of a doctor's stethoscope. What you do is whack the planking every few inches and every now and then pause and go, hmm, or ah. For extra emphasis, also try raising an eyebrow. The other tool of the trade is even more terrifying. It's called the pricker, a precision tool with only slightly less finesse than a crowbar. The pricker is for stabbing the hull and then gouging out as big a splinter as possible. The idea is to detect rot, and once you've deployed the pricker, you can guarantee the plank really will be rotten. It's foolproof. And blameless, of course. There's a standard repair in these cases, which is to insert a tingle. That's a diamond-shaped planking repair patch. Indeed, once a boat has been surveyed a few times, it's not unknown for the boat to consist almost entirely of tingles. That's why, if you're thinking about buying a wooden boat, it's absolutely essential to get a survey to pick up on all the damage caused by previous surveys. And that really is best left to experts.